Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
Good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, good.
All right, and welcome to Good Cop, Bad Cop, episode 139. Matt, we're recording on Friday. Not a shorter week for you. How have you been doing this week?
It's been a week. It's been a bit of a week at work, to be fair. Despite the fact that things are easing here in the UK, it's arguably getting harder because obviously everything reopened up this week pretty much in the shop.
Well, so right.
It's busier. The pub next door to my house, and that's not even a joke. There's a pub right next door. Monday, really busy. Tuesday, nobody.
Really? Wow.
Nobody.
So everyone just got it out of their system Monday night. Or everyone was so hungover they couldn't make it in Tuesday. And then it was packed again Wednesday.
Pretty much. It's a staggered thing on that side of things. How's your week been, Graham? How's your week been?
If it wasn't for recording now, I think I'd be taking a nap. It's been an exhausting week. But I think I got an hour's worth in me, and then I'm just going to absolutely crash as soon as we're finished doing this.
Okay, I've got strong shoulders.
It's been a week, that's for sure.
I've got broad shoulders, Graham. I can carry you. It's fine.
There we go.
We've been doing it for 139 episodes.
There you go. We'd better introduce our guest. We got a fellow Visionaries Global Media person with us today. We've got the host of the SJP Wrestling Podcast and, I guess, co-host of Chain Wrestling, I guess, with Mags as well. Si, how are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing very well. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Now, the part that I forgot last week, which was really embarrassing, we didn't get to the end of the show. We always like to ask people, for people that haven't listened to your show, why don't you tell us about the SJP Wrestling Podcast? And I'm going to big you guys up right now. I love Chain Wrestling. Chain Wrestling, like, I have my favorite podcast that I listen to. And over the last few weeks, Chain Wrestling has just keep jumping up and up and up. And it's one of those now where as soon as it drops, I have to listen to it. Chain Wrestling has reached that level right now. I do like SGP, don't get me wrong. I know you talk to indie people, which is definitely something I really like. Chain Wrestling, that chemistry between you and Mags, perfect.
Oh, that's really, really kind of you to say. Thank you. I really appreciate hearing that. I'll start with SJP, I suppose. That's kind of where I started podcasting, really, after guesting on a couple of Mags' other shows. And it's primarily me just talking to other content creators, other podcasters, independent wrestlers from the UK. It's very, very local to me, the company that I go and see with my daughters and so on. And we've got to a stage now where we've done the initial, I suppose, interview, for want of a better term, talking about how these guys got into wrestling and how they started and their training process and so on. And we're now getting them back on to talk about shows that they've loved, or we look at pay-per-views that they've never seen before. One fella in particular who's become a very good friend of mine, actually, called David Eaton, one of my favorite wrestlers to see at the local shows. He is now running through WWF pay-per-views from the year 2000 in order with me month by month, because that was the year he started watching. So it's really interesting for him going back and looking at those for the first time since the year 2000. And for me, it's also very interesting because I've not seen them in 20 odd years. And yeah. Well, for example, coming up next, we're covering Insurrection from 2000. I know I've never seen that ever. So that's really interesting for me. Matt looks very shocked at this.
2001 better, but 2000 a great show. That's a good show.
Yeah, well, hopefully it should be out in the next couple of weeks. Something for me to look forward to, because I'll get to watch it for the first time and hopefully people to enjoy listening to. And then we have Chain Wrestling, which is something that I sort of put together with my good buddy Mags and our good friend Mags. The premise of that is very much we started with a random vote, a random Twitter poll, with two matches that I picked completely at random, two matches that Mags picked completely at random. And whichever match won the Twitter poll, that was episode one. That was our topic for episode one. So right from the off, it was people on Twitter, in theory, the listeners, were deciding where we were going to go. That first match was Booker T versus Scott Steiner. And then the next link in the chain, so to speak, would be, you had to link from that to the next week. So mm-hmm. we would decide Booker T, Mags' selection won that week, and it was Booker T and Steve Austin in the supermarket fight. So the link there was obviously Booker T. And that's where we went. And then, of course, from there, we decided the next. And the idea being that every week links to the previous week, but also is then used to link to the next week. So you can go, I mean, this week episode, I think episode 20 came out. Uh-huh, and you should be able to trace episode 20 all the way back to episode 1 and then back through again back to episode 20 just by the way we do it. But it gets the wrestling is I suppose kind of half the show, because we've got more and more used to it and more relaxed. I feel I can relax a little bit more doing that show than I can my solo show as well. And mm-hmm. we can have a bit of a laugh and a joke and take the mick out of each other and just sort of poke fun at some silly, because sometimes we end up Twitter or stitch us up and we end up watching something awful, and that's always a good laugh, you know. It's so I'm really happy with how it's going. I'm really enjoying doing the show. It's one of the highlights of my week, to be honest, even though it does mean I've got to speak to Mags every week, which kind of takes the shine off a little bit. But it's
know your pain buddy.
But that's basically it. Yeah, I'm really really enjoying it. And also, again, I know I said a moment ago, but thank you so much for the kind words about that, because it's difficult to gauge sometimes exactly how things are being received. So getting positive feedback from anybody is really appreciated. So thank you very much for that.
I know I can speak for Graham as well, because obviously I did a Christmas Crackers last year, and I had you, and I actually interviewed you for your Christmas Cracker. And I said at the time how chain wrestling was, even in its infancy then, it was amazing, and you were actually quite worried that you were stepping on our toes a little bit. You completely took it and ran with it, buddy. Completely took it and ran with it. You didn't step on our toes at all. With our blessing. It's a great show you do. I'm incredibly proud to have been on SGP a couple of times. And I'm very proud to call you a peer on the network.
Well, that's very kind. And it's always been great talking to you for the show as well, Matt. And Graham, look forward to having you on at some stage as well.
Absolutely. I think going forward, Matt, it's probably easier just to say the podcast you haven't been on, because I kind of assume now that you've
been on. If I may, you're going to hate this, Graham, but Simon's a little bit hooked on another podcast I do now. Oh, guess which one it is, Graham?
I don't know, Matt.
He's a bit. I keep getting messages from someone about Dungeons and Junkies.
Yeah, I'm so intrigued by this. I mean, I've obviously heard of Dungeons and Dragons in the game, and I see people playing it on the television, at like the Goldbergs, the program from the 80s in America. Yeah. I love that show, because there's so many things that they have on that show that reminds me of being a kid here in the UK. And they were playing Dungeons and Dragons on the one episode, and it fascinates me. So I sort of one night chucked a couple on, started listening to it, got hooked. So, but the problem is, I haven't got a clue really how the game works. So it could be like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I've listened to a couple of episodes back to back where I've had a few beers, and I randomly message Matt and go, "What does this mean?"
I'll wake up in the morning, and I've got like a dozen messages. I'm like, "All right, wait, one at a time." The fact that you listen to it, mate, I appreciate it massively. It's wonderful when I get feedback like that. Thank you.
Good. Bad.
Go listen to This Good Cop Moment, the King of Wrestling podcast, the number one source for independent wrestling. You can listen to him on all major podcast platforms.
Good. Bad.
All right. As always, guests get to go first. So, Si, what is your main Good Cop moment?
My main Good Cop moment is, I suppose, pretty obvious, really, considering what's been going on in this last week, and that would be WrestleMania. I bloody love the show. And it takes, I'm not by any means a WWE hater, definitely not. I want every wrestling company to do well. I want every wrestling company to put on a product that we can be entertained by. But the fact that I don't watch the weekly TV anymore, just the pay-per-views. My daughter, who's wrestling crazy, doesn't really watch the weekly TV or anything like that. We sat up, watched both nights live in the UK. Absolutely brilliant. And seeing fans back as well. Just a great show all round. Okay, a couple of moments were a bit scruffy. A couple of moments were a bit rough around the edges. Maybe the ladies' tags and so on. But even those, my daughter got a great kick out of watching those. It was more me, the older, cynical wrestling fan, I suppose, that kind of noticed a few moments that were a bit like, oh, okay. But for me, my good cop moment of the week has got to be how WWE handled WrestleMania, the weather issues that caused them problems as well. Everything about that show, just fantastic for me. And the in-ring quality for some of the matches, superb as well.
Yeah. I got to say, as a dad as well, watching wrestling with kids is just so much better. Like, you can pick up, as a dad who's been watching for years and years, you can definitely pick up things where you're like, well, that's not quite right. Kids don't necessarily pick up on that. They just watch. They watch it for the entertainment factor, and they love it for what it actually is. And it really does. It really makes the enjoyment of watching so much better that some of the time you're actually watching them watching the screen rather than actually watching the screen themselves. And I'm not the biggest WWE fan either, and I watch the highlights just so I can keep up with Matt. But yeah, if it was down to me, I would probably just watch the pay-per-view events as well. And I thought the same thing. I really enjoyed it. I wasn't necessarily, there were certain matches that I was looking forward to, but on the whole, I didn't think I was going to enjoy it anywhere near as much as I did. And I thought they did a great job over the 2 days. And things like the weather, actually, I think, actually helped the event in some ways. It kind of makes it stand out. The fact that they had to immediately improv with spots and they had to have those little interviews, I think it was memorable for that as well. But the fact they had to improvise and they did it just fine. I wish Vince would let them talk a little bit more. They just showed you, hey, look, you can do a great job. You don't have to follow a script 100%. Let these guys talk. They can do a great job. Matt?
You wish you could keep up with me, Graham. You wish you could keep up with me. Yeah, WrestleMania, the first wrestling event, as we got told so many times, 1 year, 1 month, 1 day, since the last time they had fans in. I don't even get to go on in there, but I still remember that when Triple H welcomed us to the Performance Center last year, we were thinking it'd be maybe a few weeks, or maybe a couple months at the most, and year on, we finally had fans back, and you could see how much that meant from the first match right through to the main event. We had Bianca Belair crying before the main event started. We're touching that more in Speed Check because that's my Speed Check stuff. But yeah, I've got to agree. WrestleMania 37, overall, job well done, WWE. Job well done.
All right, Matt, what you got for your good cop moment?
I am not talking WWE this week, going for my main good cop moment, actually. Yeah.
Shut up. All right, who's taking over your body? Somebody check in. Where's the real Matt Willis?
There's a good reason for that, Graham, is because this week you've announced who's calling the main event at Rebellion.
Oh, you just stole one of my speed cop moments. Yeah.
I'm mine.
For anyone living under a rock, arguably the greatest commentator of the current era is back in the commentary booth. Jim Ross was great, but he's not at his best anymore. I will fight that hill. He's not the quantity he once was. He's still good, but he's not the quantity he once was. Mauro Ranallo is back in the commentary box at Impact Rebellion. The deal was only done this past Wednesday, by all accounts. So credit where it is due to the people who did work. Anthem apparently did the deal. He's going to be in the commentary box only for the main event between Rich Swann and Kenny Omega, which, let's face it, Rich Swann's winning.
What? Why is Rich Swann winning that? Sorry to interrupt.
Is it for both titles?
What are you talking about? He's not taking the AEW title off Kenny Omega.
I said he's winning. I didn't say he's winning the titles. He's winning the match. He'll win by DQ. Titles can't change hands on a DQ.
Oh, okay. I thought you totally lost the plot for a second. Okay.
I ain't stupid!
Besides all the evidence to the contrary. Sorry, keep going. I apologise.
Mauro Ranallo obviously left WWE and NXT in August of last year. I was gutted, obviously, because I'm a massive, massive fan. I made comment of this after War Games last year, how it was good, but it just missed Mauro's commentary. Especially from the year before, where you saw him call the air raid crash from the top of a cage through a table. I've never seen anything that meant in my life. And Mauro's soundtrack, it just felt like he was missing it. Mauro Ranallo, I mean, the way he commentates, he could sell Paint the Dulux. He really could. He's that good. And I'm glad he's back in the commentary box. Obviously, he's in a good place mentally now. He's clearly beating some of his demons. And Mauro, welcome back. I checked out his stuff on the YouTube channel, his a couple of packages he's made. Chef's kiss.
Yeah, can't argue. I saw it over lunchtime, and I was like, I can't fit it. I was like, I can fit that into my speed check if necessary. It was the last thing. It was going to be my final point, because I was like, you guys might not have seen that today, but yeah, we all saw it.
Is it just, you say it's just for the main event, he's commentating? By
all accounts, yes.
Yep. So that makes that even more special, doesn't it? Having that addition of a guest commentator, so to speak. It makes it even more, have a bit of a sort of glossy shine to that match, doesn't it?
Exactly. I'd be half tempted to buy that pay-per-view just for Marrow.
Okay.
I don't think we have to in the UK, but in America, I think you have to pay it. I don't think it's part of Impact
Plus. Impact Plus, and I still have to pay $40 to watch it, which I'm not paying. But
exactly, but I'm saying that I'd have been half tempted to pay a price for it because you've got Marrow commentary.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
It certainly increases the value of the fight, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big Marrow fan. I think he's fantastic. I do think occasionally he needs to just take the edge off every now and again. Yeah. Sometimes he's a bit enthusiastic, all the time, you know. But that's such a small thing in my mind. It's virtually insignificant. I'm a massive, massive fan of the guy. Jim Ross has always been my favorite commentator of all time, and the fact that I've said it so many times on my own shows, the fact that I get to watch Jim Ross, well, listen, I suppose, to Jim Ross commentate on wrestling, and he's now the voice of the soundtrack, I guess, for my little girl watching as well. That means a great deal to me. So I think it's really important that people don't overlook how great and important these commentators are, because they're literally making the soundtrack to what you're seeing on screen. And I think sometimes they can be overlooked. I think sometimes it can be a sort of thankless task, because they can make these moments even better with a great call, but then it may not always be noticed at the time, I guess.
But also a bad commentator can make you not want to go back and revisit it quite easily. I know, but Graham's not a fan of Shane McMahon at better times. But the fact of the Undertaker Shane McMahon's Hell in a Cell match, when you've got Shane jumping off the cell to put through the thing, you've literally got Michael Cole reading from a script for the love of mankind.
Mm.
I'm like, if he'd have ad-libbed that, that would have been fine, sort of thing. But the fact that he had it pre, and you can actually see him as you're reading it, it could turn you off. I haven't rewatched that match. Never have I rewatched that match.
Mm.
Because Michael Cole's commentary.
Yeah, I got a bit of an issue with Michael Cole's commentary as well, but that's probably a conversation for another day, because I can go on about that for a long time.
Maybe it's Graham, what's your good cop moment of the week?
Well, this might be a little controversial, because I haven't even seen this. This is something that happened last night, but I haven't even seen it. But I'm still going to call it my main good cop moment. Now, I talked about around Christmas time, I started watching Ring of Honor again, and really enjoyed it. I really like that pure style of wrestling. Jonathan Gresham over there, fantastic, and as well as a lot of other people as well. And unfortunately, just because of work and other commitments, I really have dropped off. Until I saw last night, when I'm still looking for my really trying to find, what am I going to do with my good cop moment this week? I saw it was Ring of Honor's 500th show. I was like, fantastic. That's got me sorted. So I went to go find out what I could on YouTube. They had two pre-shows, as far as I could tell. They had a build-up to the 500, which I could watch. They had a pre-show to the 500, which I could watch. And I haven't actually seen the 500th show at all. But congratulations on Ring of Honor making it to 500 shows. Obviously, they've had some tough times the last few years with some of the people that have left. But the two matches that they're going to have on the 500th show is going to be Jonathan Gresham versus Jay Lethal for the Pure Wrestling title. And they're also going to have the Briscoes squaring off as well. I can't imagine that that won't be a good cop moment. But a couple of things from the build-up shows that were really good as well. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize Nakamura had fought on Ring of Honor. I guess they picked it out as one of the best matches in the last 10 years. Nakamura versus Adam Cole from September 2015.
Baby!
Is definitely worth watching. Just for that one single match. It really does hurt me when I know we were looking for Nakamura. Every time we think he's getting a push, he gets dragged back in again. That match with Adam Cole was absolutely phenomenal. Hey, hey. And just as I'm about to finish with all this lot, who comes on at the end? And I forgot, O'Shea Edwards is on Ring of Honor now as well. I was like, oh my God, I'd forgot O'Shea is actually getting some time. O'Shea is undefeated on Ring of Honor as well. So I went back and looked at his two matches. I say undefeated. He's had two matches against Sledge, and they've both been no contests. They had a 10-minute match that was a tie, 15-minute match that was a tie, and he was cutting a promo, and he's agreed to do a third match against Sledge. O'Shea Edwards just cut such a great promo. Great to hear him talking a couple of times this week. I heard him on Chris Deezer's podcast, It's Our House, and I also heard him on IndyCast as well this week. So O'Shea Edwards, just everything kind of came together in a nice little thing all at once. But the Ring of Honor 500 show, eventually when it is released, I can't wait to watch that one. I'm not paying the subscription fee, so I could watch it yesterday. I was like, oh my God, I have enough subscriptions already.
I've got a lot of time for Ring of Honor. I brought this up nearly a year ago when Talk of Table started up. I was talking about Ring of Honor, and I had Nishikai and Mag both tell me in uncertain terms, no one gives a bleep about Ring of Honor.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact of the matter is that the lack of a TV deal in the UK certainly doesn't help. But, you know, things looking up, hopefully, for Ring of Honor, and hopefully the rebuild can continue, especially as we start to come out of a pandemic. Hopefully their future is bright.
See, my memories of Ring of Honor when it started on, it was Fight TV, wasn't it? But it was,
yes.
It was, it didn't cost anything to watch on Fight TV. It was one of their, you know, just access it regardless, I suppose, shows. Yeah. When I first found that out, I'd put it on when I go to bed because I was quite a way behind, and I was like basically had an episode to watch every night, as you know, as I was settling down, you know, for my kip. And this was around the time I was the Bucks were there then. Cody was in and out, I guess. I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. I've not watched any Ring of Honor in a long, long time, though. Since I think you had started having to pay for it at one stage, that's kind of what scuppered me. Because I just started subscribing to New Japan World. I was just getting into that. The network, obviously, I need to have as well. And it's just bills, money all the time, isn't it? So something had to give. I don't think I could have explained to the wife, look, I'm going to pay for more wrestling. I don't think that would have gone down too well. So,
and we certainly appreciate the obligatory Cody mention, don't we, Matt? Matt?
I forget you can't see me today, Graham, can you?
I cannot see you, unfortunately. This is my favourite episode so far. I'm going to guess that you're extending a finger at this moment. Would that be accurate?
Maybe.
Oh, I can see him, and that's a fairly good guess.
Yeah, there's been a prior form for this one. All right, let's move on to our speed check moments where we can, anything else that we found that was significant that we'd still like to talk to, we can talk for up to a minute. Si, if you're ready, I've got 1 minute on the clock.
Sorry, just to clarify, that's a minute for the whole lot, yeah?
A whole lot, yeah.
Right. 2 minutes.
Yeah. And if you go over a minute, I'm just going to yell time over the top of you, and I'm going to boo like I did with Matt the other week.
Well, I've not got any, so hopefully I do you okay.
All right.
Women in prominent positions at WrestleMania. Absolutely fantastic. Headlining the first night, the Asuka and Rhea Ripley match high up the card on the second night. And good matches as well. Brilliant stuff. Really good to see. And watching that with my daughter, especially the first night, there was two things that really stood out to me. Was one, my daughter wasn't fussed. They were on last. And it wasn't that she didn't care. It's because she sees it as being the norm or how it should be, which I thought was a fantastic thing for somebody of her age. AEW hitting such a high number in their viewers this week. That's fantastic. NXT doing well as well since switching to Tuesdays. And of course, I had Ranello returning to commentary as well. And Bad Bunny, Miz, Morrison, everyone in that match did an absolutely fantastic job. And I've got 2 seconds left, so I've done that well.
That was perfect. I think you must have been practicing. That was very good. We were super impressed with that one. All right, Matt, I know you want to talk for 10 minutes, but you got 1 minute, so go.
I want to highlight, again, Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair. News came out this week about who produced the main event of WrestleMania Night 1. That was Tyson Kidd.
Oh.
Tyson Kidd was the producer for that match. So, obviously, my boy, very happy to see Ab Boy Mark II That's a beauty for that one, definitely. WWE 2K22 was announced this week. It looks so much better than the last one I did 2 years ago. So, Graham, let me check that out, and I'll report back on Game Junk at that, what the game is like. Don't worry, I won't solve the episode for you on that one. And this is a good comment from me. I've been enjoying watching wrestling Twitter melt over the ratings. The fact of, oh, we won the Wednesday Night Wars. Like, no one gave a damn apart from you fans, AEW marks. No one gave a damn. So, yeah, I'm glad that everyone on our own nights now and everyone can just watch what they want to watch. Easy.
Yeah, you go. Right up to the minute. All right.
Yeah, he finished bang on zero, didn't he? I was impressed. I had 2 seconds left.
He was like,
That was amazing.
He always has stuff way over a minute, so he's either got to read the last one out quickly or he just slows down to fill it in. But yeah, he is a pro, that is for sure. All right, my 1 minute, and I didn't see any wrestling until Thursday night, so this was going to be tough. I caught up on AEW Dynamite. I love the fact that two of my favorite wrestlers are appearing together right now. So Chris Statlander is back, Orange Cassidy and Best Friends, they're all coming out together. They're also on AEW Dark Elevation. That's the first time I've watched any of that show. And yeah, great to see them. And I love the fact Chris Statlander lifted Orange Cassidy's arm into the air because he's too lazy to lift it himself. Nice touch. Darby Allin and Matt Hardy had an absolute banger of a match. Really enjoyed that one as well. Kushida, thoroughly deserving of a title at NXT. He's had some really great matches these last few months. Talking about the women, Raquel, Bianca, and Rhea all in the ring together. I thought that was a great moment. I was hoping, actually, that Rhea was going to take out Bianca. I think that would have been even better. Set up a possible rivalry somewhere down the line. Particularly when they have to face each other at some point in the future. And Sue Young is back on Impact as well. Susie came out onto the stage. They did the cinematic thing. And Sue Young is back, and I'm very happy about that. We can both play that game, Mr. Willis. I can finish on both, yeah. Exactly as well.
I will say that Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair already had previous from their first of a women's War Games match in 2019.
Ah, that I'd forgotten about. I was blanking, and I'm so bad on stuff like this. I think it's because I'm getting old as well. I could not remember the name of the pay-per-view event where the champions face each other.
That would be Survivor Series.
So I was going to say Survivor Series. I was thinking, no, that's just when they have the 5-on-5. Okay, so it was Survivor. Okay, all right. I doubted myself, and I would have been good. All right, don't forget, if you want to catch the best indie wrestling action as well, don't forget to go and check out powerslam.tv. And if you use code GOODCOPBADCOP, all lowercase, then you can get 30 days free.
Good! Bad!
All right, that's the good stuff out the way. What about the bad stuff? Might not be easy on a week when we had WrestleMania. What you got for us, Si?
I think the obvious thing is the WWE releases, isn't it?
Probably.
I think that's got to be the most obvious standout for a bad cop, I guess. I think it's exactly a year to the day, isn't it, since the first.
Yeah.
I mean, they've always had releases around this time of year, but it tends to be a handful, and it tends to be people that are looking to work elsewhere anyway or haven't been involved for a long time or something along those lines. The releases last year blew my mind with some of the people that were gone, and it was all in one day, and it just seemed like non-stop, one after the other, after the other, after the other. This year, when it started, I was on Twitter, and someone flagged up on Twitter about it, and it took my breath away that it was happening again. And I don't think it's to the same level as last year, but it's still dramatic with the likes of Joe and the Iconics as well. That's insane, the Iconics. I don't begrudge the fact that it's a business and there's certain things that need to be done. I understand all that. However, this is a business that has just made a absolutely ridiculous amount of money with a sale to Peacock. This is a business that is, I mean, how much money do you need? If you've got people asking for their release, so be it. If you've got people you don't want anymore and their contract expires, don't renew it. Fair enough. You know, to actually cut people who are there earning money, whether they're on your TV screen or not, and you've just made that amount of cash, that to me doesn't sit too well, I'm afraid. It just leaves a bit of a bad taste in the mouth, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. I think somebody said that, didn't Billie Kay actually pin Naomi during WrestleMania as well? She actually had a significant moment and you do that. Like, I didn't agree with the splitting up of the Iconics anyway. First of all, I saw Billy Kay had gone and I was like, okay, so that's kind of why they split the Iconics up, because they want to get rid of Billy Kay. They got rid of both of them. I was like, oh my, yeah, that kind of surprised me. And I would have thought, Joe, you would have wanted to keep on as a commentator as well. But hey, yeah, I was kind of a lot of those surprising ones. Mickey James, not so much. She's probably getting towards the end of her career, in all fairness. But some of those younger talents really did certainly surprise me. And I'm going to say, hasn't Billy Kay done a pretty good job backstage? Like, she has those little character roles. They kind of little funny little skits in between. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You thought that she'd found her perfect niche, but yeah, who knows how Vince is thinking. I'll be very interested to see how WWE finally runs when he's not the person that's guiding everything. But yeah. Yeah.
I'm not sure you're going to see that dramatic a change, to be honest, because to me, Vince stops running the company, whether it's he steps away, which you can't see happening, or whether it's because he's passed away, which, you know, you don't wish upon anybody, of course. Yeah. They're still a publicly traded company. They still have their shareholders to appease. They still have to run a certain way to tick certain boxes. We're not going to get the NXT product that Triple H books on Monday Night Raw in an instant, or even within 6 months. I think it's going to be a long change before these sort of things happen, because they still have to, like I said, tick certain boxes for their shareholders, I think.
Yeah, it's just kind of frustrating from my point of view when I see all the announcements that come in into the Performance Center. Hey, look at all the people we've just signed for this. Yeah. And you know that's going to come again in probably a month's time. And you're like, whoa, hold on a second. You just said you can't afford these people. And you just employed, admittedly, they're on a lower base salary to begin with, but it's still kind of a little hard to stomach. Mm.
And with Mickey James, apologies to interrupt there, but with Mickey James, I'd rather see Mickey James wrestling as often as possible on any show she can, whether it's Impact, whether it's wherever she goes. I'm a big Mickey James fan. But you look at the women's roster in WWE, there's a lot of talent there. Mm-hmm. However, as we spoke about with the WrestleMania matches earlier on, the WrestleMania matches involving the women, the tags, sorry, not necessarily the singles matches, were a bit rough around the edges. Yeah. Now, Natalya seems to have this kind of role where I suppose she holds certain things together. I'd rather see Mickey James in a role like that. I'd rather see Mickey James helping some of the less experienced ladies on TV. Because ultimately, she's still very, very talented. She's still a very attractive lady. She's incredibly good on the mic. I can't see why they couldn't find a role for Mickey James in 2021. It just baffles me.
Matt, any predictions for where any of these people are going to go?
I'm actually going to, if that's okay, go straight into my bad cop moment, sir.
Of course, go ahead.
Because I've had contact, because basically it is the bad cop moment of the week. I've got to say, I actually have actually written this out, and it is a bit of a rant, okay? Uh-oh. So, I apologise in advance. Okay, I must say, I think there's been a bit of an overreaction from the usual internet mob to WWE releasing the talent. WWE always releases talent after WrestleMania, always. It's happened every year for the last 10 years. Unlike last year's bloodbath, this seems like more like a paper cut. In comparison, if you take the time to look at each name on this year's cuts, you realize a bit of perspective is needed. All of them, apart from Samoa Joe, were stuck in limbo. All of them. Some probably are for the releases. Some are young enough to build up momentum elsewhere, and in some cases can end up returning WWE, of course. As for Samoa Joe himself, though, I think it's probably a mutual release, because I suspect he wants to wrestle again, but I don't think that we have the faith that he can stay injury-free long enough to do so for a competitive program. He's been suffering from with concussions, obviously, since February. And I think to do anything consequential would be not good enough to agree. So a part of the way is probably best for them. And people on Twitter who are saying that AEW won't release superstars like that, can I just say that because it's a pandemic, there's never a good time to be fired from your job. There's never a good time. Mm-hmm. People like Leo Rush criticize WWE for not having anything for them. 30 writers and nothing for them. What the hell is that all about? That's why they were released, Leo. So they can now go with their own thing. They want to go to AEW or Impact, Ring of Honor, or the Indies as they start restarting up again. If they want to do all those things, they can do that. And that's also, not forget, anyone on Twitter, and anyone listening to me now, who says, oh, we're boycotting the WWE because of the releases that happened, you all said the same thing last year fuck off.
Yeah, I think boycotting the company because of releases would be a bit extreme. That's not all I'm saying. My point is more.
Oh no, you're not saying you, Simon. Obviously.
My point more is, again, you're right. It's no nice time, pandemic or not, for people to lose their job. I mean, as you well know, Matt, I lost mine during the pandemic, and it's been a struggle. So I can sympathise with that. My point is that you say that they're all, most of these people kind of treading water. Joe is a huge name in professional wrestling, let's be honest, to his work from various companies. I think Billy Kay had done a really, really good job of, when the Iconic split, I expected her to be the one that would sink. I expected her to be the Marty Jannetty, so to speak, for want of a better term with that, I guess.
Mm.
But she, I think, did really, really well. And she just pinned somebody at WrestleMania.
I was surprised that she was released. I was surprised of one's... But at the same time, I'm also not massively surprised. But at the same time, apart from her going around and showing her resume to people, which the fans were behind, the fans liked that, don't get me wrong. I know the fans loved that. But the fact is that, did they have anything else for her? If not, it's arguably better to let her go and find something else.
Okay, but then again, I suppose if you're looking at... I suppose to coin a phrase from later in the show, the whole devil's advocate sort of thing, I'm going to play in here now. I'm not saying I necessarily agree or disagree. I'm just throwing it out there.
Go ahead.
We're talking about Billy Kay effectively having comedy moments backstage. And that was all she was doing, which you're 100% correct. Obviously, she pinned somebody at WrestleMania this week and, you know, so on. But she was primarily a comedy character. Mm. Is that not what Ron Killings, R-Truth, has been for the last God knows how many years? Again, I'm not saying, you know, on the same level or anything like that. But this guy, his whole role in the company is to make people chuckle backstage in between segments, in between matches. Would Billy Kay not be something kind of similar, maybe? I don't know.
50-time champion, or I don't know the exact number.
50-time, that's ridiculous.
my thing that was surprised me was, didn't I see Peyton Royce face Oscar for the championship recently? Within the last month?
That happened after she did that big thing on Raw, that impromptu promo on Raw Talk. Yeah, we haven't seen it since, though.
But why book her in that match if you know that... They obviously knew more than a month ago, we're going to let you go after WrestleMania. You don't think something happened in that match that was suddenly like, oh, are we going to get rid of her?
Fine match, but they had nothing for her.
Do they know a month in advance, though?
So why are they putting her in a championship match if they have nothing for her? That's not the sort of person you put in the championship match if you know you have nothing for them. That doesn't make any sense to me, booking-wise.
But again, we're talking about... I can't remember the women's the match itself, but I'm going by... sorry, gentlemen, I can't remember which one of you said it. I think it was Matt who said it. Billy Kay pinned someone at WrestleMania. That was in less than a week ago.
It was Naomi.
A week ago. Yep. I'm not sure. Obviously, we're not in the room. We don't know the conversations. Matt mentioned about the possibility of the Samoa Joe one being a mutual release or an agreement between the two parties. Very possible. You know, that hadn't entered my mind, Matt, if I'm being honest. So that's a really good point. But again, we're not in the room. We don't know what's said, what gets discussed.
Hmm.
The impression I get from the stuff that sort of leaks out, I suppose, using air quotes there, air quotes works very well on an audio podcast, doesn't it? Apologies.
I do all the time, dude. Don't worry.
You hear about Vince McMahon rewriting the TV show hours before it goes on air.
Yeah.
And this is a TV show he's paid a great deal of money that's live on a huge station all over the world, live all over the world on various stations. Mm-hmm. And he's rewriting the show hours before they go on air. I don't know if that company operates in a way that knows in a month's time we're going to release such and such. I can't see them having that much foresight.
Mm.
And but again, I don't know. I'm not there, but I don't know.
Absolutely. No, it's all speculation. I mean, some people were reporting apparently it was because of, quote, budget cuts. At the same time, I don't believe that.
I don't believe that either.
I don't believe that at all. I personally feel this is another case of creative editing for you. Would you like to go? And they've offered them a release and. Bo Dallas got released. He hasn't wrestled. He hasn't wrestled since 2019.
Yeah, long time ago. All right, Matt, can I ask you now then? Can you make one prediction of somebody whom, which company they're going to?
Well, if they go to AEW, I don't think that's a good idea at the moment, because now AEW has more signed wrestlers than WWE does.
Yeah, they're very bloated, aren't they?
So AEW, you're going to stand on the fence then and not tell me a name and a company?
I think Chelsea Green will go to Impact.
That was the one I was going to say. Yeah, I think she'll definitely go there with Deonna Purrazzo there. Yep.
I also would like to see Iconics turn up again. Maybe on Impact. I'd like to see them just increase that Knockouts tag division. That'd be a great addition.
Interestingly, on that Ring of Honor show that I watched, Joe's name came up because obviously it had been recorded after this, right before the show, but just before after that announcement. And they did mention the fact that somebody said, "I would love a match with Samoa Joe," and somebody said, "Yeah, well, I hope he can come back to Ring of Honor." And I don't know if he would go to Ring of Honor. He might be too big of a name for Ring of Honor right now. But
if he's a free agent, Graham, he could.
Yes, yeah, I'm gonna say there's reason for him to want to go there. But yeah, it was interesting to hear them mentioning it anyway.
What about you then, Graham? What's your bad cop of the week?
Oh, my bad cop moment. I apologize. I actually saw this on Wednesday, and normally, I'm going to say, we don't normally share our moments ahead of time, but I did share one video clip about 10 seconds long that I wanted you guys to see ahead of this. Now, I've signed up for Title Match Network a few months ago, and one of the first things I watched on there was Thunder Rosa. She had I think it's called Ladies Night Out. They had every single match she has at that series, and it was fantastic. The one that stood out to me was Ivelisse. Now, I don't watch AEW Dark particularly. I wasn't familiar with Ivelisse. I'd heard the name, but I didn't realize she wrestled over there. And wow. Totally blew me away. It was one of the matches I reviewed with Mason for MGB as part of that Thunder Rosa series. And I went back and actually watched the Ivelisse series as well. Really impressed with her as a wrestler. Really liked the character. Thought she could get this, somebody who I thought could go a long way. Obviously, Thunder Rosa, we know, is absolutely amazing. Ivelisse really impressed me in that situation. And then I saw Ivelisse had been released as well. So Ivelisse got released by AEW on Wednesday. And my first thought was like, oh my gosh, somebody who I really like, why would you get... Then as we start to read more into it and we see what's actually going on Twitter, there's a lot more to this than sort of hurt. I'm getting tired of supporting people who then really let me down. I feel as an indie person, Nova Pro, and then I got my heart torn away. I then go to Primetime Pro, and then it's kind of like the same thing. And I've had several independent organizations who've done this to me. And then I see what Ivelisse is like as well. I was like, oh my gosh. She basically saying, this is all on Thunder Rosa. She did something and blah, 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 blah. And then people, of course, commented on the tweets and they're like, oh, yeah, because it's nothing to do with you. How about you not selling against Thunder Rosa? The 10-second clip that I sent to you guys, I didn't see that match, I will be honest. But that was the absolutely pathetic, the effort that was put into that. Thunder Rosa threw her to the ground. She just kind of sat up, played with her hair. And then as she's trying to get her into a lock, she's just not doing anything. She's just doing jelly on. It was an absolute disgrace. Now, I know how bad this affects people because I didn't even realize this. I can't remember how it came up. Mason was talking to me on MGB recently, and he said, hey, do you remember on Impact just before he lost, before he left, Austin Aries? And I was like, oh, yeah, I absolutely remember that. He totally no-sold that as well. That stuck with that 13-year-old, and he went on a bit of a rant. Mason's not really much of a ranter, and he said, this is a disgrace. It totally was ruined, bad for his image. It's bad for the company's image. It's bad for everybody. What I saw from Ivelisse there was an absolute disgrace, and I'm not surprised that AEW released her. So my bad cop moment is, once again, somebody who has all the talent in the world and seems to be just throwing it away for whatever reason. But yeah, the video, guys, that no sell, I don't know if you've seen anything similar to that, absolutely appalling.
I knew nothing of this at all until you sent that clip earlier in the week. And I watched it back, and I didn't really know who this person was. Obviously, I know Thunder Rosa, and I'm a big fan. I think she's great. But I didn't know who this other person was. And I watched it. Honestly, it took my breath away. Yeah. Not only is it incredibly disrespectful, mm-hmm. it's one of the most unprofessional things I've ever seen. Now, again, I know anyone who listens to my two shows and probably any time I'm on another show like this will know I often bring my daughter up when it comes to wrestling and my thoughts on wrestling because she's almost like a foil to me, I guess. I still very much believe that she believes, if that makes sense. I don't think she sees it as how it works with us.
Predetermined, isn't it? Predetermined.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So... there are moments where she sees something, like a punch or a kick may go a bit astray or something like that, and she'll accept that because the commentators may try and explain it, and she'll take it at face value. Now, how do you pronounce it? Ivelisse,
yeah.
Ivelisse, okay. Now, if my daughter had seen that, That's blown the wrestling business for her at that young age. That's, you know, again, I'm not 100% sure what her thoughts are now anyway. I know 12 months ago she was very much a believer. I don't know how she is now. But I think she still does. I don't want that bubble burst. It's more important to me than the whole Father Christmas thing, I'm not going to lie. But, but that would have been it. That would have been that bubble burst. That would have been done. Yeah. She'd have looked at me and said, Daddy, what's going on?
Yeah.
And that's that. Done. Yeah. And that's the, to me, that's incredibly unprofessional. It's hugely disrespectful to her opponent and anyone watching her, and also the people paying her to be in there to do what she's doing. It's disgusting.
I've got to admit that while you were talking about Graham, I actually put on again just to remind myself of it. I watched it about, because it's a loop of 9 seconds, I might have watched it about 20 times,
yeah.
which is great. She says a quote from the original tweet, I don't know why I was released. And then she's got that there. And it's the hair flick.
Yeah,
it's the hair flick, and I'm like, what it reminds me of is it takes me back to 2001. Now, bear with me, Graham, okay, and Simon, for that matter, bear with me.
You're going to tell us 19 years in real time, or 20 years in real time, I can see it. Go on.
Back on the first ever Tough Enough, Triple H came to mentor 1 week, original cast with Maven, Nydia, and all that lot. He came down and he asked a few of them to take some bumps and also to snap their punches, sort of thing. Triple H said, good snap, to one of them. And he showed him how to sell punches properly and everything like that. One of them threw a bad punch and Triple H sold for him, and then he tried to sell one Triple H punches. Triple H returned with a, you sell that in the ring, I'd tag you for real.
Mm.
He didn't make it to the finals, obviously, for great obvious reasons. But yeah, I look at that, and I'm in mind of that. I'm like, Thunder Rosa should have tagged her for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because she deserved a receipt for that. I'm not a condoner of violence, but if you don't sell in the ring, I mean, I've seen some really bad sellers in the ring. I saw a tag match where I think it was the Twin Towers were up against two guys from late 80s, early 90s sort of thing, and two guys just no sold, and it was dangerous as all hell. They wouldn't take bumps, and literally they got clothesline, they just get thrown back up sort of thing. I mean, like, Warrior and Hogan can get away with that shit. You can't, you're a jobber. And it is and Evil East on this occasion, Graham, I think you're right, this is, you know what, it makes me embarrassed.
Mm.
I'm a wrestling, we are commentators of the genre,
uh-huh.
And this is disgraceful.
And you can see, for obvious reasons, why I wanted you to see the clip rather than just trying to talk about it. I knew that wouldn't do it justice, but it's just so bad.
Yeah, I'm really glad you did send that, actually, because I wouldn't have had any context at all. I wouldn't have known at all what you're talking about. And you say there, Matt, about mentioning previous wrestlers and so on. Hogan, Warrior working together and that. Let's go back to the unprofessional side of it. Let's go back to just the sheer disrespect to the company that's employing her. Ignoring Thunder Rosa being disrespected here, the company that's employing her. Disliking your opponent is kind of irrelevant.
Mm.
Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart, as people would know, weren't the best of friends. You know? They still went out there on a very regular basis for numerous years and put on some absolute barnstormers for the business and for the fans and out of respect for the company that was paying them. And this lady here, I think it's disgusting.
I've worked with people in my shoot job who I cannot stand.
Mm.
I cannot stand. But I do it because it's professional. You've got to be professional. I'm sure Graham has worked with people where he's not been fond of in the past.
Absolutely. It's people who give teachers a bad name. Yep.
But you've got to be professional.
Yes, anyway, you do.
I'm going to stop ranting there, Graham.
All right, let's move on to this bad cop speed check then. So, Si, you got one more minute if there's anything bad that caught your eye this week.
Okay. Going to contradict myself slightly. I really enjoyed WrestleMania. Thought everything was great, and I'm really happy with how the title matches went. I do think it's a shame Drew and Edge didn't get their moments in the sun, so to speak, in front of the fans. But you can have it both ways. I think that the decisions were correct, but it's a shame that Drew and Edge didn't get those moments in front of the fans. The biggest one for me, I don't know if anyone's heard chain wrestling this week yet. I kind of lose my shit a touch, and I apologise if I offended anybody. But fans being horrible to fans. I hate it. It seemed to pop up a great deal at WrestleMania time on Twitter. And again, it's disgusting. I don't care if you like AEW, WWE, whatever. Who cares? And you got people calling each other names because of things they like. Just stop it. We're all wrestling fans. It's hard enough being accepted by other people being a wrestling fan without having people of your own picking on you. And I'm going to really string this out until...
You got it. Oh, you pick it up so quickly. That's exactly how you finish. You got to bleed those last 2 seconds dry just to get that full minute in there. We always say it's less than a minute, but there's always a satisfaction on finishing right on the dot.
That's right, yeah.
All right, Matt, what you got for us?
First of all, following the release of Iconic, can someone please check on Josh Robinson, please? His tweets last night were extremely worrying at times. A fan at WrestleMania weekend came back COVID positive on Tuesday. So, unfortunately, we knew that was going to happen. It's going to happen, unfortunately. Main thing is that everyone's getting tested straight away, and it looks like it wasn't too bad. Only one reported. So, of all of that, that's not too bad in the grand scheme of things. And I'm never watching SmackDown again. Graham.
What?
I'm never watching SmackDown again. Tonight, I'm not watching it. I'm not watching it ever again.
Why?
Because Corey Graves have moved to Raw, and SmackDown have replaced him with Pat McAfee.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, of course. I saw a half story, but didn't realize what exactly it was. I'm going to abuse my privilege, but you often do this, Matt, as well. We used to have an unsure moment, and actually, I kind of want to do that. So I already talked about the fact that I really enjoyed WrestleMania. I like the splitting over two nights. I think that's a really good idea. For someone with a low attention span like me, trying to watch 7 hours in one go, I'd much rather watch two lots of 3.5 hours. I think that's much better for the pacing as well. Now, my question is, the thing I'm unsure about is, how do we rank WrestleManias now? So does WrestleMania 37, do we count it as night one and night two as separate WrestleManias, or do we have to merge them together and count them as a separate, as a joint WrestleMania? So I'm not quite sure. So when people are talking about them going forward, when you're talking about, say, the Roman Reigns' match, what are you going to say? Are you going to say WrestleMania 37 night two, yep, or are you just going to say it was at WrestleMania 37? So there's a few things I'm not sure about that. I think that gives the later WrestleManias an advantage, though, as well, because you can actually develop a story on night one and then lead that into something that's going to happen on night two.
Graham, everybody's talking about it as night one and night two, including last year. So you're late to the party, dude.
Well, they are this. They are right now. But we didn't know originally that that's like, last year was different because it was an exception. So they didn't have any choice really last year. This year they didn't really have any choice initially because it was just they had to keep people, they had to keep the parties away from each other. But it certainly looks like going forward that they are going to do that on a more regular basis. So that's the kind. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud, Matt. That's all I'm doing.
You think out loud, Graham, when you get in trouble. Night one, night two is how people talk about it, so I like it.
So when you compare a WrestleMania then, is that how you're going to do it? So I thought WrestleMania 37 night one was better than, say, I don't know, WrestleMania 26. I'm picking one at random.
Oh, hands down.
Is that how people are really going to talk?
Hands down.
I don't know. That's a really good... I never even thought about that. That's a really good point.
Absolutely.
I think that... I think, to me, just you know, without putting any real thought into it, because I've just been, you know, confronted with this now, I'd think maybe I would view it as one event, even though it's over two nights, because the flow of each night would be dictated upon by what matches are not on the show as much as the matches that are on the show, if that makes sense. You're not going to get both title matches on one night, which would then make room for another potential match to have more time or something like that, potentially. I think I'd have to look at it as one event, but with the sort of asterisks next to it, where you could potentially then further into the conversation break it down, maybe. But you might ask me the same thing tomorrow when I thought about it more, and I might see something completely different.
I think it's going to make the WrestleManias better, though. I think it, for the pace, I think for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
You can have two highlight moments. You had Bianca as one of the moments, and then on the next night you had the Roman finish as well. You've got twice as many big moments because you have multiple main events. So I think it's going to make the later WrestleManias actually stand out more than perhaps some of the earlier WrestleManias just because of how they've been structured. But hey, I was just spitballing something that came up in my head, and I was kind of curious what you guys thought about it.
Good! Bad!
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Good! Bad!
All right, time for what Micah from Devoid Podcast has dubbed fan cop moments. So once again, for a second week, we asked you to share with us what were your good cop moments and what were your bad cop moments. So I'm going to kick off with Justin. Justin, time 2-1-1. Good cop moment, good, was Bad Bunny's performance at WrestleMania. He's gone for three moments. He's almost like you, Matt. Anyway, Cesaro versus Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn and the Viking Raiders returning. And his bad moment was Charlotte Flair returning.
You missed one, Graham.
No, I didn't.
You did.
No, I didn't.
You did.
Okay, why don't you tell me which one I missed? Because this could go on for a long while otherwise.
Bad Bunny performance for WrestleMania, Graham. It's right at the top.
I said that.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
He did.
Yeah, I did. You're a bit deaf over there. Come on, Granddad. Carry on. Do you want to read the next one?
Jeez. It's about me.
He interrupts me for an incorrect thing as well. Even better. Keep going, man.
It's about me, Graham. There's probably better of you do it.
You want me to do some more?
I'll skip the next one. I'll go to the next one after, because the next one about me. From Diesel _ VFTR, good cop moment. Cesaro picked up a huge win against Rollins. And as usual with VFTR, sidebar, how great was the no-armed helicopter at the end of the match? The UFO. It was stunning. It was stunning.
Yeah, it was.
Absolutely stunning it was. And bad cop moment, the Fiend Orton match, the reign of momentum from night one to begin night two. I do agree. It was a little bit on the... it wasn't the best way to continue momentum, unfortunately. But, you know, you can't hit them all the time, guys.
Mags at Desh Kirkby. Oh, sorry, Quite Funny Diesel. I missed that as well. His bad cop moment is Simon not knowing his role in our podcast relationship.
Oh, for goodness sake.
A good moment was Matthew Willis. Oh, we put Matthew as well. That is not me saying that, I promise. Matthew Willis adding a certain quality to Tekkers. And the second one was Graham spreading the love and buying some podcast merch. He's the best of us. I did buy a No Holds Barred t-shirt, and I bought a few more on Pro Wrestling Tees this week. They had a sale. I will be as soon as they arrive, I'll take some pictures. Keep going, Matt.
I've used my full name as well. Mags, I love words of you on Tekkers next week. I'm not on this week. Next week, I love words of you. From your friend D at your boy D Helm. Good cop moment is absolutely WrestleMania 21 flashback moment with Bella and Ripley both winning their first world championship WrestleMania 37. Absolutely. Back moment is the branding of Backlash as WrestleMania Backlash, giving WWE an excuse to put bad storytelling on WrestleMania. I have to agree. I don't get why they're calling it WrestleMania Backlash all of a sudden. We all know it's Backlash from WrestleMania. You don't have to call it that. We know it is.
Yeah, we kind of knew anyway, didn't we? It was kind of the unsaid obvious, I suppose.
It was.
MGB Mason put at good cop, bad cop, good. Roman pinning both Edge and Bryan simultaneously to end WrestleMania night two. And then I responded on that, but did he at the Matt Attack UK? And you didn't respond. I actually thought it might feature in one of your moments, possibly.
No, because I didn't respond to it there, because I thought I responded to it here. Because, Graham, people make a big song and dance about it, but at the end of the day, referee decision is final. Obviously, that is true. But also, If two men's shoulders are both down at the same time, and if you look back, Roman actually pulls Edge's shoulders down, so they are down at the same time as Bryan's, because if two shoulders are down, that's a draw.
Ah, okay, all right.
I didn't give it anywhere near as much thought as that.
I had some time this afternoon.
I was already about, I don't know, 12 cans in by the time that pinfall happened.
All right, we always give our guests the opportunity if there's something that they would like to talk about that's non-wrestling related. So, Si, what have you got for us for your open agenda, please?
This is very much, I suppose, a good cop open agenda sort of thing. My good lady, my far, far better half, my wife Sharon, has been working on various books for quite a few years. Well, I say quite a few years. That makes it sound like an incredibly long time. It's been a while, but she's working on various different projects at the same time. And her first actual book release, or the book's finished, it's been everything's been done to it that needs to be done to it, and she is revealing the cover online tomorrow. And on May the 27th, it will be out to purchase for everybody. So, I mean, at the moment, it's on pre-sale on Amazon for 99p or 99 cents, depending on where you are. And it's quite spectacular for me being able to type in my wife's pen name. My surname's not good enough, I'm afraid. I just had to type in her pen name and see her cover, her work. Well, the cover will be tomorrow, but, you know, her work. And then people have already read copies of it for review purposes for when it comes out, and it's got positive reviews, and it's just absolutely fantastic knowing how much work and effort Sharon, my wife, has put into this, that it's now coming to fruition for her. You're seeing, you know, that there's copies of her book in my house. I can pick up a book that my wife has written. And, you know, from front to back, she made the cover. She did everything about it. It's just absolutely, I honestly could not be prouder of her. The book is, it's a romance novel. It's rock star romance, apparently, is the sort of subgenre, I think it's called. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a couple of details for anyone who wants to pre-order it. My wife's name is Sharon Correia. That's Correia. You can find her on Facebook and Twitter. On Twitter, it's at Sharon Correia 13, but on Facebook, it's just at Sharon Correia. And all the links for pre-ordering and so on are there as well. Or you can just type it into Amazon and it'll come up. The book is called Sweet Melody. And
can I say, I just had to type CO into Amazon and it was the first link.
Was it really? Well, there you go. See, that's amazing. Yeah, and it's a book. Well, it's a romance novel, but it's, like I said, rock star romance. So the romance surrounds a touring rock band and a member of the band and so on. So, yeah, I'm incredibly proud of her. I know how much work has gone into this. So it's amazing and quite emotional for me as well, seeing this sort of come to where it is now, and knowing that she's already working on other projects to follow up to this that are not necessarily directly linked to them, their different sort of series of books and so on, is fantastic as well. So yeah, by all means, seek out my wife's social medias, Sharon Correia, as I said. Pre-order the book. May 27th it comes out. The cover reveal is, well, later tonight, potentially tomorrow as we're talking. Mm-hmm. So yeah, have a look out. And that's my sort of non-wrestling moment that's made me very, very proud and smiley this week.
I will certainly put the link for that in the episode notes as well. I would say we'll go find
that. Thank you. That's great.
That in there. Matt, I know particularly you were very proud of your first thing that came out in print as well, when you talked about how you began wrestling, how you got into wrestling. I had a few years ago when I was actually published in a mathematics magazine as a teacher for a lesson I'd actually done, and I still keep a copy of that magazine as well. Yeah. And it's extremely fulfilling when, a quote, you feel like a normal person, but you finally manage to get something that's actually published and you know that people have read it. And it's extremely rewarding. And when you have relatives or family or anybody, friends that manage to do that as well, I would absolutely agree with you. It is very, you're always very pleased for them as well, that they've got their work sort of recognized in that way.
If you give me 30 seconds, sir, I just want to quickly read something, because I think this is worthy of saying, like, mistaken identity, a faithful encounter, and instant attraction bring them together. Complications and secrets will keep them apart. I'm already interested. I'm already interested.
I'll let the wife know. Thank you very much. She'll really appreciate that.
I've read the rest of the description as well. I can't wait to get into this.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you. I'll let her know, Matt. Thank you very much.
I appreciate this. The only bad part about it is that it's the version that I've clicked on the Kindle edition, which I can't do on my phone, but I can and will get a copy of this. I can't wait. Can't wait. May 27th, guys.
May 27th is the release date. Yep. The cover is out. I believe it'll be out tonight, actually. I said tomorrow earlier, but I believe she's releasing it tonight, the cover. So follow her on Facebook, find her on Twitter, wherever, and it'll be all over there. So.
And she's not a dreamer. She's a winner.
That's it. Of course she is. Look who she married.
Good. Bad.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and whoever you choose to identify, welcome to the Devil's Advocate round of Good Cop, Bad Cop, episode 139. This is the section where myself and Graham will fire Devil's Advocates at our guest, Sai, and he will return fire, no doubt. So, obviously, this is a ridiculous statement that we do not necessarily agree with, which we must defend for 20 seconds, no matter how ridiculous they may be. So, guest choice, do you want to receive or deliver first?
I will deliver first, if that's deliver. Okay.
Ooh.
And it was announced we decided before the show, everyone's firing at everyone today, so that's all good. So,
yep.
To deliver to Graham or me first?
Either or, because I was going to let you guys pick one or two.
All right, go ahead, Matt. You can go first. I'll do
all right, Matt. One or two, Matt?
Oh my god. I'll take number two.
Number two, okay. In WWE, tag team wrestling is quite clearly dead. I think this is a great thing.
Absolutely. WWE should always be focusing primarily on the single amount of things. You want to improve that, they use the women's tag titles to actually promote the entire of the women's main event of WrestleMania Night 1. They did all of that back at Fastlane. And the men's tag division, I couldn't remember who were the tag team champions last week.
That was good.
The fact as well, I a couple weeks ago, Graham actually was shocked. I couldn't remember Dolph Ziggler was partnered with Bobby Roode.
Oh, well, there you go.
On the previous week's episode, that's what made it so bad. Because I mentioned that Michael Cole couldn't remember who it was as one of the bad cop moments. And we said exactly who it was. And then a week later, you complained that you couldn't remember who it was. So there was a reason why I didn't think it was.
Which showed exactly how much it...
And just to clarify, I don't believe this, just so we are crystal clear.
I actually do sort of believe it's dead, but anyway.
Yeah.
Graham, right, I'm ready, Si.
That leaves you with number one then, Graham, I guess. Yep. Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania was a great idea, and he should probably come back and have another title run.
Oh, absolutely, it made perfect sense you would pick somebody. Obviously, he has his shop down in Florida, so it was obviously somebody who was very close, and he's an iconic figure. You think about the eras of wrestling that we really love. Who started all those off? It wouldn't have started if it wasn't for anyone else except for Hogan. Why not? That's the perfect time to bring in. Show, get rid of ageism. Show somebody Hulk who was in his late 50s or 60s. Put him in the title on him straight away. Okay, sort of. Ugh. I don't know how old Hulk is, actually. I suddenly realized in the middle I don't know how old he is.
Early 60s, isn't it, I think?
Oh, he is? Okay. I was trying to do the math in my head, and I was like, oh, I'm just going to have to talk. I thought late 50s might be a little optimistic.
He, he's 68 this year.
Oh, bloody
hell. Shut up.
Really? Well, I suppose, what's that? Flair's 70, wow. 71. I guess that doesn't make sense.
Oh, yeah. I guess so. Yeah, I guess it makes sense. Nearly 40 years of WrestleMania's worth, I guess it would make sense. It would be around
Flair,
that age.
Flair is only 4 years older than him.
Okay. Yep. All right. Matt, do you want to go ahead and give yours to Sai first? Well, so I can do the...
Absolutely. So, Sai, your devil's advocate is AEW having Mike Tyson on their show shows how desperate they are for ratings. Go.
Sorry. Shows how they want ratings or don't want ratings. I apologize.
AEW having Mike Tyson on their show proves how desperate they are for ratings. Go.
Okay, well, yeah, obviously it proves how desperate they are for ratings. Mike Tyson's a proven draw. He's sold box office buys all over the place. A massive, massive name. Huge, huge star. Why wouldn't you want Mike Tyson on your show to boost your ratings? Of course. It makes perfect sense. I mean, headlines all over the place from Mike Tyson. Eyes on the product.
That was a bit of a softball from you, to be honest, Mr. Willis. You've been throwing out some brutal ones. Have you been feeling a little bit guilty about how bad ones you've been, how such terrible ones you've been giving to our guests recently?
Really? Yeah, that was a softball. I found that really hard.
I want to go back on SAP at some point.
he's had people swear at him in recent weeks for some of the ones that he's actually given. And that might have got edited out, possibly. But yeah, he's had some, he's been really going low. I was like, hey, this they're guests. This is their first time on. You got to give them a chance. All right, Si, my one for you is I regret wasting my bad cop segments this week when I should have just slagged off fans who watch a different wrestling organization to the one I watch.
Okay. Yeah, I should have. I think anyone who watches a company that I don't watch is a moron. Their opinions don't matter anywhere near as much as mine, and I should be criticizing people who watch companies I've never heard of before. I don't want my eyes open to new products. I don't want a fair world for everybody. I want to be a jackass, just like everyone I just rode on chain wrestling this week.
Time.
I say. When you mentioned chain wrestling in your rant, I was like, oh, yes, I already have that notice. And yes, I had listened at that point. I don't think I mentioned it, but yes, I definitely listened to your rant at the start.
Yeah, I kind of remember that.
That, sir, was one of the greatest debuts of a Devil's Advocate defend I have ever seen. Well done, sir.
I'm sweating. That was pressure.
Well, now you do turn fire at Graham. Because Graham, do you want mine mine or Simon's first?
Oh, did I not have... I already had Simon's, didn't I? Did I have totally lose track of
one of mine yet?
Doing?
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
Totally off your game today.
I am a bit, aren't I?
All right, Matt, go ahead.
Okay.
Your Devil's Advocate. I'm ready.
Okay, Graham. Your Devil's Advocate is Chelsea Green was never good enough for the big leagues. I'm glad she's out of a job.
Absolutely. Like, I'm going to say, how brittle are your bones? You're supposed to be a wrestler. Like, she was only there for one match, and I think she broke her arm, and then she was out for 18 months, and then she comes back again, and then she gets injured straight away. Yeah, she's got brittle bone syndrome or something. That's not the type of person you want to see as a wrestler. You want somebody who's hard-hitting, someone who can take a punch, and for that reason alone, she's clearly not suitable as a wrestler.
And time.
Oh, my word.
All right, okay. All right, Matt, your Devil's Advocate is... I don't think Taya Valkyrie should have picked the name Frankie Monet because of the French artist, because I personally consider her more of a Constable.
Well, absolutely. The Constable is obviously a painting, of course, in the United Kingdom, of course. John Constable, a fantastic artist. And Monet, it may be pronounced Monet, but it's actually spelled money. The fact that she's being thrown straight into the main event scene alongside Rick Hogan was ours. Yeah, Constable would have been better.
I knew you wouldn't predict that one coming.
No, because it's spelt money, but pronounced Monet.
She said that she picked the name because of the French artist, and that French artist is called Monet.
Yes, but it's not spelt that way.
Yes, it is. It's M-O-N-E-T, isn't it?
No, M-O-N-E-Y is how it's spelled.
Oh, she did spell it as money? Oh, well, that means... Well, apparently I dropped a bit of a Jackson Pollock then on that one, didn't I?
You absolutely did, Graham. You actually did. Right.
Si, can you please share with us all the places we can find you on social media, like your personal accounts, your Twitter, your podcasting accounts and all those things, please.
Yeah, of course. Before I do, I just want to very quickly say thank you very much, gents, the Perrier, for inviting me on today. I listened to the show, really enjoy it. I've had a brilliant time talking to you. It's been absolutely awesome. I come in from work not long ago, as I said, tired, grumpy, covered in dirt, miserable, and I'm now full of energy and smiling away. So honestly, thank you very much to the Perrier for the invite. I've really enjoyed myself. It's been brilliant. You can find my shows. The first one you can find at SJP Wrestling Pod on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. But the Instagram, as I keep saying, my daughter runs for me. I don't really know how to work that. So Twitter's the primary one that you can get hold of me on. My show with my podcast, lesser half, shall we say, Mr. Mags, is at chain_wrestling. And that's where you can get links to all the shows and so on. And the polls are put up to vote for the next topic for the following week. So get involved there. And you can find me at SJP Words. Also, seek out the wife, Sharon Correa, pre-order her book. Hopefully everyone will enjoy it. And again, gentlemen, thank you so much for inviting me on. I've had a brilliant time.
Now, I know we haven't finalized things, Matt, but somebody was actually talking to us and talking about episodes. We're pretty close to 150. We haven't finalized everything, but 150 falls exactly on Independence Day. So Bad Cop decided that would be the perfect time to get a non-American guest on. So we're going to try and put together an all-British panel. So we're hoping we can get you back, Si, at some point, if we can get you back for that episode. I know we've asked a few other people as well. We're going to see what we can do, but we're hoping we can make 150 a very special episode. So
yeah,
we'll see how that goes.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you to Si for being a part of the show. Graham, thank you for tolerating me as always. We'll be back next week with another amazing guest, no doubt. On behalf of myself, Graham and Si, we're out of here.
Boom.
Music was Happy Happy Game Show by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/